Hi, everyone. This is Barry Britt from Sounds Abound. And today's podcast is entitled Reading Past the Headlines, pointing to yet looking beyond the code of best practices in fair use for media literacy education. This podcast is based on an article I recently wrote for School Video News. And if you would like a reprint of this article, feel free to email info@soundsabound.com, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of this article reprint, which is also free for distribution. On November 11, 2008, media literacy educators released a code of best practices in fair use. Some people have asked me recently how this would change our instruction and workshops on fair use, not realizing that the code of ethics falls in line with what Sounds Abound has taught all along on fair use as part of our staff development services, which cover not only music but other forms of media. The code of ethics helps to clarify many myths and misconceptions regarding fair use and serves as a resource that emphasizes instructional use, critical thinking, and transformative content when using copyrighted materials for teaching purposes while giving proper attribution and acknowledgement. The guide identifies five principles. Number one, classroom teaching with copyrighted materials. Number two, copyrighted material within curricula. Number three, sharing teaching materials. Number four, student works. And number five, sharing student works. Within each principle, there are three sections: description, the principle defined, and the limitations. It is important to read beyond the headline to the limitations set forth in each of the committee's principles, since most people fail to recognize and therefore abuse the rights we have been given as educators within the fair use guidelines. As with any liberty, when we abuse it, it does draw negative attention, and so we as educators do have an ethical responsibility toward the freedoms we have been given in this area. The message of "yes, you can" does not mean a free-for-all. Therefore, special attention to the limitations must be given. The Code of Best Practices also contains a section called Common Myths About Fair Use. On page 16, the myth of, if I'm not making any money off of it, then it's okay to use it, is clarified, mostly by them saying that non-commercial use can be a plus in fair use analysis, but its scope is hard to define. In the latter part of the paragraph, the code also emphasizes relying on transformativeness. However, in this age of brand infringement, we find that there is little we can do about this. That is why it is so important for a teacher or student, even in nonprofit situations, to take into account how an artist's brand is used. A great example is the recent lawsuit filed by Jackson Browne against the McCain campaign for using his song Running on Empty without permission. Whenever you request a reprint of this article, we'll have a link in there for you. But in a related follow-up article to the lawsuit, the McCain lawyers claimed their client was legally allowed to use the track because he was not seeking to gain any profit from it. We hear that quite frequently in education. But the Jackson Browne attorneys disputed that the federal courts have long held that the unauthorized use of a famous singer's voice in a commercial constitutes a false endorsement and a violation of the singer's right of publicity. End of quote. That's where it gets really tricky, because sometimes things are related to soft dollars and not hard dollars. By the same token, students and teachers should use caution and consideration, even for educational purposes, not to place an artist or copyright holder's material into a video or other form of multimedia which may go against their beliefs. You might ask yourself, is that possible for a teacher or student to do at desk side? I would venture to say that it's probably next to impossible, as we spend millions of dollars and a lot of time and research in order to clear branding rights for education. The Code of Best Practices states that no lawsuits have occurred, but in the case of illegally downloaded music, they have. And for other branding or improper use of fair use, there have been lawsuits that are settled out of court for undisclosed amounts of money. Not by hearsay, but only by firsthand accounts do I speak of parents, specifically parents, who have paid over $60,000 in out-of-court settlements. In saying this, I certainly do not advocate the court's ruling, but feel it is my responsibility to give caution where caution is due. Regarding situations of sharing videos and other projects in public, if a student posts something on a video sharing network such as YouTube, it may not be a big deal, but when a school does it, they become a much bigger target. Nearly everything gets posted to a public environment these days, and for audio especially, it is wise to look toward other alternatives to fair use. In the area of copyrighted music, it has also been a factor that the majority of popular music that students not only listen to, but choose to use in their projects, excluding school projects, have sexual content, illicit lyrics, and other content which is deemed unsuitable for educational content with no formal screening process. This, too, can bring liability to schools and districts. Many times a school or district will say, well, we listened for the lyrics, or we listened for some, you know, political or religious content which may be unsuitable, but we have found that a lot of content gets missed. And you not only have to review the lyrics, you also have to look at the graphics and the images of artists. You have to go to their websites. The screening process goes way beyond the music. Now that we all live in a digital universe, we can no longer draw the line between copyright holders versus educators, since we are all creators of digital content. Therefore, we are all copyright holders. This also means that now more than ever, a mutual respect for one another's property and the proper use of it to teach, engage, and enhance is of utmost importance. Based on this, in a short time, we will enter a brand new era which exceeds our limitations in education regarding fair use, where student and teacher creativity, combined with educational licensing from major artists, will be brought together through modern technology to meet our needs. Again, this is Barry Britt from Sounds Abound. Feel free to email us for an article reprint of the Code of Best Practices. Email us at info@soundsabound.com. Thanks and have a great day. He is on his mind.